Welcome back to the Why So Serious podcast. It's been a year since you've heard our voices. A whole year. The channel's still alive. The last episode we did, for some reason, got some listeners. It was called Super Mario Incels. But we are back after a year on the Why So Serious podcast with Devin and Mike. The whole crew's back. And what brought us back together was
X-Men.
That's right. X-Men 97 brought us back. And we are here to review a recap episodes 1 and 2 of X-Men 97. Mutant Liberation Begins. And what the hell was episode 1 called? I got them mixed up. To me, my X-Men, of course. And then Mutant Liberation Begins. But before we get into that, Mike, what's going on?
I'm so glad we're back.
Off to the side.
Oh, I don't know. That's where the microphone is.
My man, Lean, you got shoulder lean. You got the shoulder lean.
Well, I have actually had people who I haven't talked to in a long time. Like, I ran into them and they were like, when are you recording again? And I'm like, I didn't even know you were listening. You know,
I love that. We'll be back.
We are back.
For my mental health, I need to be back.
Me too.
I love
honestly.
That.
Honestly.
Devin, how are you?
Man, I'm amazing. I've been watching a lot of goddamn anime because that's what I do now. Because since I ain't fucking with y'all and listen, doing actual nerd shit and like doing nerd shit be assigned to do, I'm all the way in my anime, like my whole bag.
Devin, I got anime on my TV. It's an app called TV Time, where you can track all the shows that you want to plan to watch upcoming. And I have an anime on here. It's called The Eminence in Shadow. Did you watch that?
I told you about that shit. I told you when I saw you.
And then I have another one called Trigon Stampede.
Trigon Stampede, you got to watch the first, the original one that came out in the 90s.
Oh,
and then you can go to... No, because I just want you to appreciate the shit that you're watching on Hulu, because you can't just jump to Hulu and think you're watching the same show you won't know him. They pick up and they start a new story on Hulu. So that's what I'm saying. You got to watch the one on the old one in the 90s. But first of all, the Power Rangers shit, the offshoot of the Power Rangers shit that you showed me.
Go Loser Rangers. It come out next month on Disney Plus.
I can't. Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, Disney Plus picked it up in the States.
Wow, that's major. That's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. But other than anime, man, just working out, man. That's what I've been doing, man. I got abs again. I'm excited about it. Like, that's about it.
So before we get into these recaps of X-Men 97, Michael is a baby, unlike Devin and I, who are old. And so we were supposed to do recaps on these on the channel, but life happened. So we didn't put them out. But I made Mike go back and watch the original X-Men, the animated series, because he had never seen it before. So I made Mike go back and watch it. And Mike, how far did you get?
I got pretty far. I've seen most. What I started to do as we were getting closer to the release of the new one, I started like watching every other episode so that I could at least get the gist of things. So I watched a few episodes from each season.
You ever watched the Dark Phoenix saga?
Yeah, I watched all the big stuff, and then anything else, like if I had time, like I watched like Dark Phoenix and like Days of Future Past stuff, like whatever that was called in the animated.
What did you think, Michael?
Well, so it's funny. I don't think I've even told Brandon this, but when he asked me to do this, I said I would do it, so I was going to do it, and I did it. But I was going into it, and I was like, this is going to be so boring. It's so old. I typically don't enjoy things that are, like, that old, you know, because it's hard when you're used to, like, a quality of content, and then you have to go back, and it just doesn't feel like it's as good. And I was sitting there, like, I started watching them, like, I'd be doing things on my phone or working, and I'd be distracted. And then, like, I got really into it. So it caught me by surprise. I actually liked it a lot, even though, like, the quality of the animation, like, animation quality has improved, which made it all the better, actually, when I watched the episodes this week, because they were, like, you know, obviously like much, much cleaner. So I enjoyed the whole thing, and I went into it thinking I was going to not, I thought I was going to be bored.
Well, good. Did you learn about the X-Men? Do you see why I'm so angry at the Fox movies when the stupid cartoon in 1993 could tell the stories competently?
Yeah. I felt that extra today because it was like I was watching it, and we know they're coming back, obviously, in live action at some point. So I was just like, I hope they get some good treatment. It's well-deserved. I liked the X-Men movies growing up because I didn't know anything else. So now, like, I don't know if I could watch them again now. I might watch them again after this just to see how I feel about them still.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You don't want to do that.
They're terrible. They're all
and
terrible.
Devin, I didn't make Devin watch them. But Devin probably remembers them from when he was a kid.
I remember them. But you know what I forgot? Dead ass. So I'm watching this shit and I'm like, Magneto and Rogue, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I had to remember what the fuck happened when they surprised Magneto and attacked Magneto and Rogue was like, and then she was fucking freaking out and shit. I had to remember the episode because I forgot it. And are they about to be, because are they fucking? Are they about to be fucking? Do they know something?
So this is a thing from the comics that Magneto, that, you know, Rogue can touch. One of the only people she can touch is Magneto. And so
why?
I think it's something to do with his magnetism, that it doesn't let her take the power.
She has a magnetism in her little X gene or whatever that allows him to touch her. It goes both ways.
Basically, their powers cancel each other out. So basically he's immune to her absorption powers and she's immune to his magnetism when he's doing it out of his hand. And so, you know, one of the tragic stories about Rogue is that she can't have human touch. So, like, she can't kiss people. She can't do any type of intimate things. And there's this one dude who she can, right? And so that's gonna be an interesting storyline because, you know, Gambit could be...
Right, he's salty. But at the beginning, when we saw him, we talking about in the 90s, Brandon, you're going to tell me that you ain't think Rogue and Gambit, he just took that loss and was like, yeah, she fucking...
No, he doesn't seem to care. He doesn't seem to care.
No, no, no.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know the fuck you're talking about, Michael. But I'm talking about, like, back in the day when you saw Rogue and Gambit together the first time, and, like, they was, like, you could tell they was doing something. Like, I feel like he was taking the L. He was out here like, I'm lifeless and shit. But
that's what I mean. He doesn't seem to care if she touches him.
So he cares. You didn't see him in the background pissed when she
walked
out of his office?
No.
I mean, you're saying... You're saying that this is the only person she could touch is Magneto, but Gambit never seemed to care if she.
Oh, you saying Gambit don't care if Rogue touches him? Yeah, but Rogue won't ever do it because she knows it's gonna fuck him up.
But he doesn't care.
But she did it. She did it at one time.
Also,
she did
couldn't
it at one
she?
Time.
Couldn't she touch Wolverine?
One time.
Oh no, actually.
Yeah, but
she
did you watch that? I don't know. See, Mike, this is why I wanted you to watch every episode. Did you watch the episode with Carol Danvers?
I might have missed that one. I thought
you
I didn't
watch. See, I knew you did. This, Mike, we talked about it, and we're going to get back to doing
that's
the show.
That's part of the Phoenix
we're
saga. That's part of the Phoenix saga.
Stuff.
Yeah. You're going to watch the stuff.
Promise me you're going to watch the stuff. It had the episode.
Wait, Ms. Marvel?
Yes, Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
It had the episode where they showed how Rogue got her powers.
And the mom, she was her mom?
No, Mystique was her mom.
Yeah, Mystique was her mom.
And she made Rogue go attack Carol Danvers, and she held on too long. And not only did she take all her powers permanently, but she also took her memories. That's straight out of the comic books. And that's why Rogue has her powers. So she does it. So if she were to, like, have sex, first of all, that wouldn't be any... We'll get into the recaps. But first of all, that wouldn't be any type of pleasure for Rogue. Because it would be like a second, and then Gambit would be dead. I mean, not dead, but he'd be... passed out because she took his power, like all of his life energy.
I'm gonna take that. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm doing that. I'm trying to see what that be like.
Yeah, that's because you're being a selfish man. I'm saying, what does Rogue get out of it? Nothing. Okay, then.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So I'm gonna go through step by step through these episodes, but we're gonna talk about what happened in these two episodes, and then going forward, since there will be one episode a week after this, we might do a little bit more formal recap Mike and I. We're going to try to get Devin on when he can, but as y'all remember, Devin's out and about flying across the country, so he may not be available.
I got a question for you. How do you feel about them really just actually like making the same goddamn premiere episode with a little, just a little hit here and there? Because that's what they did.
Like, yeah, their first episode, I like it. That's what you do. That's okay. What they did for Star Wars. Because you're introducing this thing that's beloved to people, I don't know, 30, 35 to 50, probably somewhere around that range. Like, people 35 to 50 remember this. You know, if you were born in 85, you were 8 years old when this came out, right? When the first episode came out. So if you were born in, you know, 78, you were 15 years old. So this was kind of, you know, it was a little bit kiddie, but it was X-Men. It was the first time you're seeing it in real animation. So it was still kind of in your thing, right? So, you know, if you're somewhere between 35 and 50, or 35 and 40, you know, this is your shit. But everybody younger, Mike's age, right? If you're Mike, if you're 27 years old, the only thing you know about the X-Men is they had the X-Men cartoon in the 2000s. I forget what it was called, X-Men and Wolverine or something like that. And then they had the X-Men Fox movies. And that's what you
know.
It was
on Nicktoon. It was on Nicktoon or Toon Nick or whatever they call it. But it wasn't really a dedicated effort to get people back into X-Men. So you're absolutely right. And then they have that and then the movies. And the movies weren't good. Let's just say that they're not good movies. Brandon, how did you feel about Morph? That's what I want to ask you. How do you feel about Morph and the different
iterations? Well, that's what Morph looks like in the book.
Comics. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So how do you feel like it's better to do the
homage?
Well, basically,
the way they explained it is that in the first series, Morph was not fully comfortable with who he was. And so he put on that white man's face and wore that all the time in his normal days. But now he's more comfortable in himself. And they basically announced that he's gender non-binary, which, you know, the assholes got mad about. And I'm like, how are you mad that a person who can shapeshift is identified as non-binary? I feel like that makes the most sense in the world, that he could become a woman or a man or anything at any point in time, that he's non-binary. It's like, yes, that makes sense. That makes logical sense in this world.
Do you feel like it's a trigger though for a lot of people for being clearly correct that they don't want that man to be but non-binary, which makes all the sense in the world?
I don't care. If that's what you're mad about, I don't understand how you watched X-Men. Mike, you watched some of the X-Men that I told you to watch, not all of it. That show was pretty clear where it stood politically, was it not?
Like you don't even need to. They don't even need to explicitly say it. That's how. Like, it's very like it's pretty obvious.
That was in the early 90s. Like, it's pretty obvious where they stand, where you should stand. Like, what the X-Men is the allegory of. I mean, the Friends of Humanity in season 4 literally had on Klan hoods. Like, literally had on Klan hoods in the show. So, like, it's clearly obvious where you stand. So, like, these people who are just like, and these two episodes, they did not give a fuck about those people.
No.
They were basically like, no, we're going into this. This is what the X-Men is about, which is exactly what the X-Men is about. But episode 1, you get to meet a new mutant. So, in the 80s, X-Men was getting really, really popular. It was Marvel's most popular franchise. And they had a spinoff book called New Mutants, and it was basically to, you know, have a younger batch of mutants become more popular. And you had Cannonball and a bunch of different other
Sunspot.
Yeah. Well, we meet Sunspot.
Is that who that is? I thought it
yes.
was.
Yeah. Robert DaCosta is Sunspot. And the episode starts off with you seeing him getting caught by the Friends of Humanity. And this was so funny because they even had a part where Sunspot was like, "Why are you bothering me? I'm one of the good ones."
It was so good.
Said that on the show, which was amazing.
Side note, Brandon, are you going to see the League of Magical Negroes? Have you seen it already?
I saw that.
See it? Was it good?
No. See it? No, it's not good. It's not bad, as people say, but it's not good.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, so the Friends of Humanity got him, and then they basically they so in the first season, people who did not see that, what they did in the first episode was they introduced Jubilee, and they had Jubilee get taken by some Sentinels, and the X-Men showed up at the mall, and they all came in and basically introduced themselves and introduced their powers to save Jubilee, and we basically saw that same thing redone with Robert DaCosta. And also, they actually had Robert DaCosta be dark skinned because Robert DaCosta
It's
is
Mexican. He's a Mexican.
no, he's not
He was
Mexican. He's
Portuguese. He
Brazilian.
was Brazilian.
Portuguese.
He was speaking
Br oh.
Portuguese.
He's Brazilian,
Oh,
but
Portuguese. Okay.
he's Afro-Brazilian. But oftentimes in the comic books, because of colorism, people drew him as like white Brazilian. Oh, after he was originally supposed to be Afro-Brazilian.
Afro. Okay.
And so
I didn't know that.
yeah. And so now in this, just like when I was rewatching the X-Men before this, my wife was watching some of it with me and she saw the first season. And I said she was wrong initially, but she was right. And I watched the first season of the X-Men and they had Storm looking extra light, like extra light. And they made her
She wasn't
darker.
actually like, but she was definitely
No,
like,
no,
she got
no. The
darker toward
first
the end.
season, she was
But she was
light
still
bright.
brown.
No, no,
Right.
no. She was light, like
Okay, I'm gonna
peach.
check it out. I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna check it out.
And then as the season went on, they made her darker and made her brown, but she was just more like, she was kind of like light brown, like
I got a
brown
question
sugar.
though. How you feel about the team up with her being with Bishop? In the first 2 seconds that we've seen is why the black people gotta be together? What's up with that?
Well, they added
But
Bishop to
because
the team, which is interesting because he did join the X-Men at one time. He did come back and stay in time and join the X-Men. But what I was gonna say is in this series, they got Storm as a whole dark-skinned black woman with black woman features on her
and a
face
mohawk,
and a
yeah.
mohawk, which is her iconic look. And so these are the things that kind of appeal to me because someone, whoever was making this, we'll talk about Bo getting fired because the showrunner for this got fired. No one knows why.
Come on. He got fired already?
Yeah, he got fired last week and no one knows why. They
Wow.
think something bad happened, but nobody knows actually knows what happened. When they were making this, they clearly were like, yes, like we're going to
Lean in.
dive, we're going to lead into what this absolutely should be. But yeah, so they end up saving him, basically. And Mike, what did you think about the opening scene, the fight scene, and seeing everybody's powers? Because a lot of people online were talking about how cool it was to see Cyclops use his optic blast to like move around,
Lower himself.
to like lower
Yeah,
himself back up,
that
things like
was
that.
new. I thought it was really good. I liked the visuals. It's really refreshing after watching a bunch of the old episodes to see like what they're doing with it now. I really liked it. I was expecting them to be less corny, but I noticed they decided to still say a bunch of the corny lines, but it works for what they're doing.
You got to. I again. We all trusted Kevin Feige. We all trusted him. So we gotta understand it's the beginning and it's gonna build to something great.
Well, Feige basically had two things to green light this. He said he wanted to get the rights to the theme song, and he wanted as many as the original voice actors back as he could.
Yeah, but we didn't get Rogue. We
No, that
lost
is
and we didn't
Rogue.
get Rogue.
That's the same actress, voice actor.
Though she is awful. She fell off the fucking
No,
cliff
she
with
didn't
her
fall off a
voice.
cliff, Devin. She's old. It's 30
Well,
years.
I don't care. Well, she needs to do better with her voice acting. That shit is awful.
No, she's just
Awful.
older. It's fine.
Sir, it is awful. Rogue sounds awful.
Why she sound awful? Because she don't sound like she used to.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean she sounds awful. That means she sounds
What
different.
is she? I don't even know what the fuck she's supposed to be from now. It sounds
What
that
you
bad.
mean? She's from the
I
same
don't.
place. She's Southern.
No, shit, me. That ain't Southern. That's just
Listen,
Midwestern at best.
no, you
At
sound.
best,
That did not sound Midwestern. These are lies.
you no, these are not, these are terrible. I just anybody that watches this, please just comment and see if Rogue's voice is not the goddamn
She
worst.
cracked a couple times,
The goddamn worst. It's the goddamn
but that's
worst.
because she's
I'm
older.
upset. I don't even, it's the goddamn worst. It's the worst part of the show, her voice. And then they got Magic Mike out there playing Gambit and shit. I don't know how I feel about that. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm upset.
We find out that Jean's pregnant. And when I saw that, just somebody who reads the comic books, I said, that's not fucking Gene.
Right.
And we'll
Okay.
get to that.
There we go. There we go. I was about to say, there we go. So can you tell the people where the time frame is for
No,
this
we'll get to that. We'll
actual
get to
show?
that
Okay,
when they
cool.
get to
That's
Revenge.
why I said
Because when I
cool.
first saw that,
Perfect.
I said, that's not fucking Gene. And a lot of people who haven't read the comics are going to be in for a good surprise. But basically, DaCosta, he's like, I'm rich. Why the
Is it
fuck would I?
Mystique?
No, it's not Mystique. I'll
Oh,
explain it
don't do
to
that,
you in a
Michael.
little bit.
Don't,
I
don't
don't know
do
if I should
it.
explain it to Mike or not.
No, off air. Do
Well,
it
we
off
do
air.
spoilers, so I don't
No,
know.
off air, man. Off air, because it's better that way. It's
No,
better
well, it's not off. I don't care about the listeners. I don't care about Mike. Well, I care about the
that.
listeners, but not in terms of that. DaCosta's like, I'm rich. Why the fuck would I stay in this mansion with y'all? Like, I got money. I'm fucking out of here. He leaves.
Go do all the ecstasy in a part of drugs and shit. They're
Jean
doing
and
this, all that
Cyclops are
shit.
planning to leave. They're like, why the fuck would I raise a baby in all this craziness? Like, we need to get
No,
the fuck up out of here.
why they ready to leave? They're extra ready to leave because of what, Brandon? Who's in charge of the X-Men? Tell them.
Well, no, at this
That's why.
point, that hasn't happened yet.
They did read the letter. Oh,
No, that
they
was
no.
later.
That was later. Right.
No, because Xavier's dead. And so what they basically did, it appears, they either did one of two things. They either completely ignored season five of X-Men the Animated Series, which I wouldn't blame them because it wasn't very good, or a bunch of shit happened after that series ended. Because the last episode, Graduation Day, of X-Men the Animated Series, basically Xavier has like this disease, like something's wrong with him. And the people who want to save him is Lalandra. And so she takes him to the Shi'ar
Mr.
space and he goes away. And when we start X-Men 97, Xavier is all the way dead. And they say
All the
that he
way.
was shot by the dude who made the
Assassinated.
Sentinels, assassinated. And that kind of brought people together, which was leaning way into the MLK allegory, just super leaning into it. And now the governments are working with the mutants and being more nicer to them in general because of that. And so now Jean and Cyclops is kind of leading the team at this point, but he's kind of, because Cyclops is such a Boy Scout, he's kind of leaning, like grinding everybody's gears. Everybody's a little bit tired of him. And so basically throughout this episode, they find out that the Friends of Humanity are still after Robert DaCosta. They go to a nightclub to find him. And they show up at the nightclub and they stop everybody. What would you want to say, Devin?
Let's talk about how Cyclops got his ass whooped by this man. He be beating the shit out of mutants, but the humans and humanity beat the shit out of him. Two times he got his visor knocked off. Just knock that shit off. Knock
No,
the fuck
the
off.
first time he did not get his visor knocked off, he played them. Because they didn't know, they thought that he needed his visor to shoot the shit out of his eyes. And
This
so
is
he
correct. They
played
did.
them, and because they were like, aha, we got your visor. And he was like, oh, no, I can't do anything. And then he nodded, he opens his eyes, and he blasts them. He was playing, it was a trick.
Okay.
So that's what
So then
happened there.
the second time,
The
but so
second
so one
time
time he
was,
got
we'll
knocked
get
out.
to that in episode two.
Okay.
That was different. But yeah, so they basically they tracked down Bolivar Trask, and through that, after they found when they found DaCosta and they at the nightclub, and they're trying to find out like where he got the Sentinel technology from, and he's not telling them shit. He's talking big shit to them like, "Fuck you! I hate y'all. Y'all shouldn't be born." Like very on the nose about how you feel, people feel about marginalized groups, and Jean through Cerebro was like, "Fuck that." I'm just gonna go through your mind and take that shit. And he went through his mind and he took that shit and they went and found Master Mold, which we haven't seen in a long time, which is a big
Master
giant ass
Mold
sentinel.
was, yeah, Master Mold was prominent in Wolverine and the X-Men or Wolverine, whatever that shit was. I can't remember that shit, whatever that show was.
Mike, do you think in the X-Men movies, when they not the Deadpool and Wolverine, but when they finally get to an X-Men movie, do you think they're gonna actually do big ass sentinels as tall as a building?
I hope not.
I kind of hope so.
Why not, Devin?
This cuz, man, it's. The CGI on that is going to be just too much, and I know
Why?
you got because
They made the
you got to
fucking
see it.
They made the fucking Celestials look good and Eternals.
I mean, I like this. But the Eternals is a average movie at best. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. I appreciate the X-Men on a level that I don't want to see them do too much CGI. But
it's gonna be pretty hard with some of their powers, like Storm and Cyclops.
They have to do
CGI. Oh no! Their CGI is great, but when you do too much CGI in one scene, Michael, it gets too much. So that's what I'm saying.
So they basically show up. They find Bolivar Trask. They see Master Mold. They get into a big team fight. They did some really cool fucking shit here. Like they had Gambit light. Basically, energized Wolverine's claws, and then they did like.
Time out. That was just for show. Because what the fuck did it do?
No, did you watch what happened? And so then they did a version of the fastball special, but they had Morph turn into the Blob. Wolverine jumped on the Blob's stomach, catapulted up into Master Mode, and then blew up his head with his fucking animadium claws. That's how they killed him. That's how they knocked off the Master.
His head blew up.
No, his head blew up.
Oh,
so Animanium claws got penetrated Master Mold, right? And then they exploded, and his head exploded. So that shit was fucking cool. That shit we haven't seen before.
The combos. I was going to ask you about the combos. They did a lot of combos without like prompting them, but they did a lot of combos.
Robert leaves, basically tells Jubilee, Herman and Jubilee been flirting the whole episode, basically tells Jubilee, take my business card. And he dips out. And then we get the basketball game. Go ahead, Devin.
Do you like that we show Wolverine, Jubilee as being a fully Asian woman because she looks Asian and it's not Asian. Reputation.
And I mean, her name is Jubilation Lee. That's her name.
Yeah.
She's Asian. And they said that in the first series, so they basically alluded that she was Asian, but they didn't really draw her that Asian in the first series. So I appreciate that because like a lot of people probably didn't know she was Asian.
Right? No, absolutely. Right.
And so then they play the basketball game, and then they have these sensors go off. They detect an intruder, and then the big reveal happens. Magneto is in Xavier's office with his Fabio hair. My guy, The Blur Without Fear from the YouTube channel, said that he looked like, he said every time he sees Magneto, he looks like Granny Goodness from Justice League Unlimited.
He does, though. He fucking, why the fuck does he have that suit on? Is this a suit?
Oh, no,
he,
that's I've a never suit seen from that the suit. Comics. Yeah.
Okay.
From this time period in the comics when this was happening.
Okay.
And he basically has the last will and testament of Charles Xavier, which I will go into a little bit of detail about. Because that's interesting in his face if they go there. And he basically said Xavier left everything to him and he's in charge. Mike, what did you think about that reveal? Did you expect that?
No, I also did no one question. I mean, did no one question when Magneto walked in with his will that maybe it wasn't his will?
Well, that was my first thought.
Yeah, but like, I could just write that. The last will and testament of Charles Xavier. All right, look, I got the money in the house. Sorry. You guys work for me now. All right.
Hey, yo.
You guys look at it shit. If you want.
That's the real shit ever. Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
I mean, well, that was my – I was like, really? No one's going to question this? Like, you guys are just – you're good with that?
Here's the thing, though. The last will and testament of Charles Xavier is actually like a storyline in the comic books. And that basically introduces one of the most powerful mutants ever, Matthew Malloy.
Okay.
I don't know if they're actually going to do Matthew Malloy on the show.
But like on the show, they did Matthew before Xavier died.
Yes, but he talked about Matthew Malloy in his last will and testament, and so I thought that was a little Easter egg to that we might see him. But he is powerful on a level that we have not seen on screen on pretty much everything. Like he's a reality warper to like the highest degree, like more than Franklin Richards. Like it's crazy. So But Mike, what'd you think about episode one?
I loved it. I liked episode two more, but I liked both of them. I thought it was awesome.
I agree. Episode two was definitely better.
So episode two was really into the politics, which I appreciated.
I love I'm sure you'll talk about it, so I'll wait, but
what, his speech?
Yeah, when he brought, I thought he when you thought, you know, they want you to think he's probably gonna just kill everybody and then he stops.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. I was like, that was cool.
In the aftermath of Charles's death, Magneto's taken it upon himself to act more heroically. So in the beginning of the show, you see him rescue some Morlocks from the Friends of Humanity. You get to see a Morlocks down there. He's like, y'all won't even let them like let mutants have y'all waste.
Y'all waste. That shit is real, bro. Y'all
waste.
Y'all don't come down here, but y'all won't let them have. That's crazy, bro.
And then he went, and there was like a Ferris wheel that like clearly did not get checked out by inspectors, and the screws was coming off and shit. And Magneto showed up and saved the people, and the people were like, "What the fuck? Like, is that Magneto? What the fuck he doing saving people?" He just drifted off, and then they show like a war room in the U.S., like the Situation Room, and they're all like, "Yo, what the fuck is going on here?" Because you know Magneto came out of hiding. They're like, "Yo, what the fuck is this dude doing?" So, for me,
like, what is Genosha like at this point in time? Because
so Genosha
is about to be a UN country. So that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, what Genosha is the state just of a
mutant country at this point? They had some episodes on that in the animated series. Those of you who read the comics knows what's going to happen next.
Right. Genosha. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
But they might change it for the show. Who knows? But Genosha goes through some tough times, to say the least, in the comic books. Cyclops and Jean are now just like, I don't trust this dude. No, at this point, they're like, I don't trust this dude.
Scott's staying. I'm definitely staying. Okay, yeah.
And then they had an amazing scene with Jean and Storm, because in the first show, they were just kind of like teammates or whatever. But like in the comic books, Jean and Storm are like sisters. They are like this. They're like thick. And they talk about
these are
everything.
The original X-Men that we don't think about. These are the original X-Men.
Well, no, Storm's not an original X-Men.
I mean, but Charles Xavier School for Exceptional Students. No,
Storm and Jean became really close. Like the original X-Men was Jean, Beast before he mutated, Cyclops, Iceman. No, the original X-Men. They even showed a picture of it this episode.
They did.
It was Jean, Beast, Cyclops, Iceman, and Angel. Were the original X-Men.
X-Men, whatever, that movie.
And then in the comic books, giant-sized X-Men came when Chris Claremont, because the book, so just to give you a little bit of background, in the comic books, X-Men was kind of boring in the 60s, and it was about to get canceled, and it went into reruns. Essentially, they re-put out the same issues for like years. And then they gave this guy named Chris Claremont a chance to come back and revive the X-Men in the 70s, and he put out giant-sized X-Men number one, and he introduced Storm, Nightcrawler, Wolverine to the team, and that's when the book took off. He ended up writing X-Men for 30 years into the 90s.
Really? So I know how much you love Chris Claremont, that's what I'm saying, but I never knew that he make these characters, make Wolverine and Nightcrawler. Wow.
When Wolverine was made before then, his first appearance was in an Incredible Hulk. In Alpha Flight, he was like a villain against the Incredible Hulk, but he joined the X-Men and Giant Size X-Men number one. But Storm and Nightcrawler were created by Chris Claremont, and in every story from the rest of the 70s, the 80s, the Dark Phoenix saga, all of that was Chris Claremont. Everything that happened after that. So they're really close in the comic books, and they had this scene where Jean was basically expressing to Storm like I like being a mutant, but like, this shit's fucked up, like how they treat us. No, and I'm about to bring a child.
I know I can't raise
world.
A kid. Yeah, I know I can't have a kid in this world.
And this is something child. That people of color and LGBTQIA people have this conversation. And like, what if my child is, you know, I'm not against it. What if my child is gay? What if my child is trans? You know, do I want to bring a black child into, you know, what if you live in like the boondocks in the middle of fucking nowhere? And you got to be
It's the way they pronounce that lady's name. Aurora. 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 Huh? I'm just saying they were
Storm
saying
understands her error and said, you know, I used to wonder what it was like to be human, but I'm happy. And that was like foreshadowing. This is when they showed a Magneto and Rogue getting close. And I bet Mike was surprised to see that. What are you shaking your head for, Mike? We're on the podcast.
I was definitely surprised.
Got to speak. You haven't done this in a while. You got to get back into it.
We're getting there.
I need you in it, Mike. I need you in it. It's okay. As long as you're ready for when we go live stream. And by the way, listeners, we're gonna start a live stream on YouTube soon, just because it's fun and hopefully to grow the channel. So sometime during this season, we will start live streaming.
Love it.
The government shows up at the house, and they're basically like, "Hey, dog, we know Magneto's here. Just bring his ass out here." And he shows up, and Cyclops is like,
"Time out." Who is the white woman we all want to hate? Who is that white woman?
Oh, her name is...
Why is she always doing cardio? She was doing that in the old show, too.
She is a member of... she's basically like a government liaison.
Yeah, okay.
So for those of you who watch the MCU and aren't familiar with this, remember... what's his name from Black Panther?
Martin Short. His, Martin,
yeah.
Who does he play?
What's
his name? Hold on,
it's like
find
slipping
it.
My man. It's like slipping.
Andy. What's the Andy Black?
No,
Andy?
It's his name is Everett K. Ross. So you know how like Everett K. Ross is like the liaison to Wakanda.
Yeah,
but this is what she is to the mutants.
Okay.
She also, in the comic books, was a part of Project Wide Awake, which is a little fucked up, a little bit.
Hey,
but I don't think we're going to go into that.
No, Brennan, fuck all that. Tell us how fucked up Project Wide Awake is.
Oh, but her
tell
name
us.
Is Val Cooper. Val Cooper.
Val Cooper.
Yeah, Val Cooper.
What's his dive into Project Wide Awake? Because I don't know what the fuck that is, and I haven't heard about it. Project Wide Awake.
Project Wide Awake is basically like a government program in response to it's basically like a commission that they came up with, and I mean, I don't want to go really into it because they might do it on here, but basically it was a government program designed to study and eliminate mutants.
Oh,
for lack of a better
so that they probably got the power from that study then.
Yes.
But, okay.
So, yeah. So, that's Project Wide Awake. So, she shows up. And she's like, hey, Magneto, we're going to put you on trial. And Magneto basically says, if you give me a fair trial, if I am found innocent, will you let me be cool? And she goes, yeah. And so, he turns himself in. And they're all shocked. Like, look at this dude turn
this
in.
This floats over, though. You got to do the float
But the
over.
Friends of Humanity are pissed because they're like, why are you not killing homie? You should kill him. He doesn't deserve a trial. We don't believe in rights for muties. And so they got this dude, the executioner. That's his name from the comic books, who's got this mask on. And he basically, they have these collars, right, that depower the mutants. He basically took the energy from the power and put them all into a gun that could basically take away a mutant's powers if shot with it. And so Magneto shows up. They basically, Val Cooper gives all the shit about what Magneto did wrong. Magneto goes on gives a crazy good speech about like
amazing
how y'all treat us like shit. And everything that I've done has been a response to some atrocity done to mutants, which is mostly true. And that like how you know basically I can't do it justice. I wish I had it to play it, but
essentially this man said, what you have done to us, I've only done in response to what you've done to us. So I need you to understand and see me as somebody that is being reactionary instead of being a victim. And he said that in a way that you would be like, hey, I want to eat off the plate this man serves. Yes, he served it up amazingly.
I want to eat off the plate of this man serves?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know what that was. I didn't know that. But I mean, Magneto is amazing at his soliloquies.
He said, "I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be better.
And I'm trying to be better because of my friend that passed away."
I think I got the scene, actually. Let's see.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
My people's homes
Can y'all hear
were
that?
Burned to
ash yeah.
because we dared to call God by another name. Then my people hunted me with those who had once hunted them.
That's crazy, because Magneto was in the Holocaust. So he was like, we got persecuted because we didn't believe in y'all's religion. And then when they found out I was a mutant, they treated me like the Nazis treated them, which is crazy. It's just, that shit is so crazy.
I was a freak, born a mutant,
an abomination to their misnamed gods.
In history's sad song, there is a refrain, believe differently.
Love differently. Be of different sex or skin and be punished.
We sing this song to one another. The oppressed become oppressors. Xavier knew this and dreamed we could change, find harmony, a future where human and mutant could relinquish the past and finally... you claim justice is overdue, indeed, but so is healing.
Your words, while kind, do nothing.
I love how they gave that white man a southern accent. I love it. I love the little details.
Nothing to heal those hurt by your crime.
And your soundbite indignation will not heal mutant wounds. You build robots to hunt us, collars to chain our power.
Humanity must protect itself.
Protection? That is extermination. I have only ever acted to avenge crimes against my people, as you act to avenge those against yours today.
If that were the case, are we truly to believe then that in the face of what you consider to be extermination, you would walk Charles Xavier's path?
Not the worst thing that's don't go Magneto's way, don't you think?
It's broken through the barrier. We can't hold it back.
That was a great speech. That was a great fucking speech. So then basically the Friends of Humanity show up, and this was clearly and obviously a play on the January 6th insurrection.
There you go. I was like, what you said.
Like, it was so obvious to see, which was great. Because
I've been wanting to say this whole time that the Friends of Humanity remind me of the Proud Boys.
Yes. I watched this and I'm just, and it, I wonder if, like, because a lot of comics gate and comic that we've talked about that on the show in the past,
they'd be ahead of this.
Yeah. Are like right wing people. And I'm like, do y'all think y'all are the X-Men? Like, is that what you think? Like, y'all are clearly not the X-Men. Y'all are the other people. And they made that so clear today. They were like, no. Y'all are the insurrectionists. Y'all are not the X-Men.
So hold on, talk about. I don't have any social media. So that's a real thing. Like, they feel like they're the X-Men, the right wing people.
Yes, people? They think they're the heroes. They don't see that they're the people picketing outside. They don't get it.
Oh.
How else could you get mad? How else could you say the X-Men are woke? The entire premise of the X-Men is that. Like, that's the entire premise of it. How could you get mad and say that, right? And so the Friends of Humanity come in. The X-Men go out to try to protect them. Tells them to protect Storm and Magneto to protect the judges. Storm is like, y'all better take that fucking collar off of him unless you want to die. And then the security man was like, okay. Whoop, took that shit right off. Executioner was strapped, though. He came in there ready to go. This was the one who was fucking up Cyclops.
He's a winner. He's a winner. We have so many iterations of X-Men stories. Like, how does this make you feel about what's the name of that goddamn show on Fox? Turner. The Gifted. I enjoyed The Gifted too, but like it just all came back to me like, yo, this is The Gifted. Like, and like Magneto got these people in the bubble, but he can't save him. Like, it's just crazy.
But yeah, Magneto ends up going ham and fucking the executioner up, putting them on the fucking sign, uplifting the judges and taking them into the atmosphere. But he's got them protected with magnetism. And this is what Mike was talking about earlier, where it looked like he was about to drop their asses back on Earth. Meanwhile, Gene's water breaks.
Well, he did that because of Storm.
Yeah, because of Storm. Oh, yeah, I forgot. When Executioner came in, he
was stage trapped. What did he stage trapped with it?
He was aiming at Magneto, and Storm saw him at the last minute, jumped in front of it, and Storm got shot, and her powers are gone. Meanwhile, Jean, water broke, and Logan's there with Jean, and he's like, bitch, get in the fucking Jeep. Like, we got to go. And Jean is moving shit.
She was like, he's coming. And Wolverine was like, who, Apocalypse? And she was like, no.
This is good.
The baby.
So they're rushing Jean to the hospital. They get to the hospital. This racist-ass doctor's like, I ain't fucking helping no mutant.
Time out. Let's take a time out right there. What the fuck you been doing your whole pregnancy, Jean? You ain't got one doctor that you can fucking go to?
That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
And what I'm saying is, like, you ain't saying, like, it is big.
Oh, you know what I bet? I bet you Hank McCoy was helping her. But he not there. He was at the courthouse.
Bro, go get that motherfucker. Bring him back to the danger
room. You think Devin's got a point. You think they'd have a plan for this.
Like, yeah. we got a whole infrastructure here at this building right here.
Well, their plan was maybe we don't get a racist doctor. I think that's
terrible.
Plan.
It was terrible though.
Oh shit, Devin. What? Kentucky just lost to Oakland.
You know, they always disappoint us anyway. I'm a Cowboys fan. So I'm not used to being lifted up and let down, so go ahead, Kentucky.
But yeah, Rogue gets they get there, and the doctor's like, "I ain't fucking helping you." And Rogue took Cyclops to the hospital, and Cyclops was like, "Rogue, take your fucking glove off, touch that fucking doctor, take his medical expertise, and deliver this fucking baby." And she's like, "What if I touch the baby?" They're like, "Bro, we trust you." And she walked right up to that fucking doctor, took his fucking shit, and went and delivered that fucking baby. That shit was so beast. I love that shit.
That shit was everything, though.
So does she get to keep that medical knowledge?
No, that's tough. She has because, to hold on like, for a long time. To keep
it's only temporary. It's only like maybe like an hour or two. You know, like,
so she
like,
rose up.
So she's just going to forget?
Yeah, she's going to forget. She's going to forget the knowledge, not what happened. So she rose up in there. The baby gets delivered. They name it Nathan Charles Summers, a.k.a. Cable.
First of all, I forgot all about Cable's real name. And then I was like, hold up. That is Cable. Okay, cool. And then it throws me, when you see the second Jean, it caught me up real quick.
Back in the mansion, Beast confirms that Storm is depowered and it could be permanent. And that was fucking sad.
Hey, Storm was like, I mean, so I ain't got my powers for like a week, 2 days. Hey, no Storm. It's permanent. Yo, her face said, bitch, what?
There's a comic book story called Life Death where this happened to Storm in the 80s by Chris Claremont. And there's an episode 6 is called Life Death. So I think they're going to do the storyline with Storm and what happened to her, or some variation of that with her powers, which was excellent.
She's going
to
get them back. Yeah,
she's definitely going to get them back. She has to.
And then basically, Cyclops is watching over the baby. They show Magneto and Rogue getting close. And Morph and Wolverine are bonding because Wolverine's salty because he still loves Jean. And he's still a little salty about this. By the way, the new X-Men, they did this thing called Krakoa, which is like an island. But basically, it was so beast where the X-Men just basically were just like, fuck y'all, we have our own nation. We got drugs that can cure cancer and everything. We're not going to give it to y'all unless y'all treat us like we're people. Like, it was so beast. But then Krakoa fell. The last 2.5-3 years of X-Men in the comic books, I've read like every issue has been fucking incredible. But in Krakoa, Wolverine, Jean and Cyclops are a throuple.
What? Yeah, that's right. You won.
That's right. What is the, what hey. Like, how does that work?
First, folks, go out and read that book because, again, maybe you can make your thruple work because, again, a thruple is a real thing in the world today. Think about it.
But here, he's still salty because he loves him some Jean. Storm leaves a note basically telling everybody that, like, she got to get up out of here because she don't feel like she belong here anymore. And
it's when she found Black Panther. Sorry, and, I don't know.
The doorbell rings, and Morph is like, oh, I told y'all Storm was going to be back. She's back already. It's been like 15 minutes. She's back. They open the fucking door, and it's another Jean. But it's not actually another Jean. I don't know if I should tell. Mike, do you want to know, or do you want to be surprised by watching the show?
I kind of want to be surprised.
Okay, so I won't tell you. But there's a famous storyline in the comic books where something similar to this happens. Although they've done it way differently. Like, way differently. Because
you know who did it. But if you read the comic books, you know who did it.
This happened. So in the comic books, what happens here is after the Dark... So in the show, if you watch the Dark Phoenix saga, Jean doesn't actually die. Basically, the Phoenix takes something from all the X-Men and basically revives her and brings her back to life. So she never dies. In the comic books, Jean dies after that. And then another Jean shows up and Cyclops ends up getting with this other Jean. And it's a whole thing to why that happens. Now, they hinted to this in the episodes in the original animated series, but Mike didn't do the research like I told him to do. So he don't know what's happening, but I still love Mike.
Michael. You know who it is. You know who did it.
I'm not going to tell Mike, but this storyline gets pretty crazy. It gets pretty crazy, but it's going to be a little bit different because it's different circumstances here. But what do you think about episode two, Mike?
That was my favorite of the two. I thought the Magneto, like, I wanted to hate him in the beginning, but he grew on me at the end. I was rooting for him.
Did you know that they had a book called The Trial of Magneto in the 80s?
No, X-Men comics, I'm very not familiar with.
They had a book called The Trial of Magneto in the 80s. It had the exact scene when he was in the cusp with that suit on, was straight out of the comic book panel. And then after that, he did turn a new leaf, and he did lead the X-Men. So this actually happened in the comic books, where Magneto led the X-Men. Devin, what did you think about episode two?
It was my favorite episode of the two. First of all, it makes you love Magneto. And anybody that wears a Magneto shirt that says Magneto is right, he's absolutely right. Because I didn't read the comic book. I don't know about the relationship between Magneto and Rogue. Magic Mike, a.k.a. Gambit. I was taking the shirt off for some reason. I had no idea why. He was upset. It was really good. We got everything. Nostalgia was in there. A good storyline was in there. And more to come is in there. So, like, I love everything. It was a great episode to lead up to what the rest of the season is going to be. So I'm good with that.
What are you looking forward to this season?
What we all saw, Rogue left out that room. What the fuck gonna happen with that? everything is about, well, if you love X-Men in this iteration in X-Men 97, we want to see what Wolverine does, what pisses him off and makes him leave the team, like, because he always leaves the team. I'm excited to see Bishop's contribution in addition to the team. We got Morph back, so that's cool. Whenever Archangel come back, if he's coming back, I would love to see that.
Lot of cock teasing these first two episodes with the people he was turning into. Archangel, yeah. Quanon.
Sabretooth.
Quanon version of Psylocke. Sabretooth, like. And in the original series, he turned into Deadpool to fuck with Wolverine. Like, he been fucking with people.
I love Morph so much.
But does he get all their powers?
Yes.
Yes.
He's different than Mystique.
Michael, if he can fly and he turned into Sabretooth and was fighting and he turned into Psylocke, yes.
So he's like super overpowered.
No, he's not.
Right? Because, yeah. Like, how do you even stop him? What if he turned into Franklin Richards?
I don't know how long he can keep it up. But yeah, he's he's from the Age of Apocalypse, and he's crazy powerful. Crazy powerful.
What if he turned into Apocalypse?
He could turn into
Apocalypse. Thanos.
He could.
He could.
With the Infinity Gauntlet.
I don't know if he can do
I don't know if he can do
I don't know about that. But yeah, Morph is pretty fucking powerful.
So how do the X-Men lose anything at all with that?
I don't think he can keep it that long. That's why he switches between the people. I don't think he can keep those forms that long. But he can fuck some shit up. Mystique can look like people, but she can't get their powers.
She can keep it up for as long as she wants.
But she can look like people. Like she can completely rewrite her genetic memories. Yeah, because like Mystique is Nightcrawler's mother. And she's also Nightcrawler's father.
Hold on, what?
It's a pretty cool story. It's in the books.
I first of all, I want people to go to the YouTube, and whenever they see it, I want them to see my face because, like, what? Okay, cool.
Mike, what are you looking forward to this season?
Honestly, just at all, like, I'm ready for the next episode now.
So you're actually, Mike hasn't been excited for a lot of comic book stuff recently. So are you actually excited for this after watching the first two episodes?
Yeah, I was very much into it. Like, well, I was like, wow. I was sitting there on the couch. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
The animation looked great.
It made me excited for them to come up in live action, too, which I have previously.
No live action. Keep doing this shit. Keep doing this shit.
I mean, I hope it's animation. It's going to be different this time, hopefully. I don't
know. Listen to the names of these episodes. Fire Made Flesh, Life Death Part 1, Remember It, Life Death Part 2. Bright Eyes, Tolerance is Extinction.
God damn.
Part 1, 2, and 3. That's the last episodes.
I'm going to watch 1. I don't know if I'm going to watch 2 and 3. Yeah, because they doing a lot. They did a lot of shit on the nose. And they did a lot of shit to tie into like shit we deal with now in our politics and our society. And like, it's, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch part 2 and 3.
So they have some cool Easter eggs before we get out of here. They had a newspaper, the Daily Bugle, and at the top it said, "Is Spider-Man a mutant?" at the top of the newspaper. So in the back in the day, they had a crossover between Spider-Man the animated series and X-Men the animated series. So I wonder if we get another crossover with Spider-Man at some point. They also had a thing about the Hellfire Club in there, which I think we will see on here. The people fighting in the opening sequence, you know, at the end where they show them running against each other, the bad guys and the good guys. On the bad guy side, you see Emma Frost over there, which is interesting. So I'd like to see her come up. Robert DaCosta is going to come back at some point, but I'm interested to see what other characters, because in the original series, they didn't really have people join the team as much as they just like showed up. Like Iceman showed up, Nightcrawler, you know, a bunch of people showed up. So I know we're going to get guest appearances from mutants, and I love the mutants more than anything, so I can't wait to see who the fuck's going to show up on this show.
The Daily Bugle made an appearance.
I just said that.
I know, but do you think Spider-Man's going to come?
I just said that. Mike, was he not listening, Devin?
I have no idea.
No, honestly, every time you've said something from the comics, I've looked up half of it because I wanted to know more of what you were talking about. distracted. When you said Mystique was Nightcrawler's father, I was like, hold on, what?
Yeah, that's and what I said too. Because I was like,
what is that? I was not listening. That was my fault. But I was looking up what you said because curious.
Right now in the comics, they have Fall of X. They're basically ending the Krakoa era. It's been for the last 3 years in the Krakoa era of X-Men has been unfucking believable. It's coming to an end now, the Krakoa era of X-Men. And they're about to, they have something called From the Ashes. Or something like that, X-Men. They're basically starting a new storyline. And Gail Simone's writing the X-Men, and Eve Ewing, a black woman, is writing the X-Men team called the Exceptional X-Men.
I'm here for that. I'm here for that. I love the name.
She's the person who wrote Ironheart, Riri Williams' book.
Oh, nice, Riri.
So she's writing Exceptional X-Men. So that starts this summer, From the Ashes, X-Men From the Ashes. So a lot of people are excited about. A lot of people are sad because people love the Krakoa era, but it's coming to an end. But yeah, the Krakoan era has been incredible. Like, I hope they take that in the movies when they actually do the movies, that they do Krakoa, because that shit.
Because it's good. It's good.
Incredible.
Right.
So yeah, we're gonna get out of here. But Mike and I are gonna be back every week when Devin's free. We'll get him on as well.
I'm gonna be here.
Because I at least I know I always love it when I can actually know Devin will watch something that like we're watching. Because he usually just watches his anime, but whenever I know he's going to actually watch one of these other shits, it makes me happy. So we'll be back next week for episode 3, Fire Made Flesh. Until then, you can follow the show. You can leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. If it's 5 stars, we'll read it on the show. You can send us an email at thatcoolblacknerd@gmail.com. I'll probably make a Watch the Series podcast email. I don't know what happened to the old one, but I'll bring that back so you can email the show. You can listen to one of my other shows called the We Was Watching podcast with me and Chanel. We've been reviewing a lot of cool things. It's been pretty fun.
Awesome.
So go listen to that. And we'll be back next week. Talk to y'all later.
Peace.